This morning, our scripture comes to us from Exodus chapter 40. If you have your Bible with you, I invite you to turn with me there so we could hear God's word coming to us this morning from Exodus chapter 40. We're going to be reading the very end of Exodus. We're going to be reading verses 34 through 38, the end of the chapter of Exodus, Exodus chapter 40. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the Israelites would set out on each stage of their journey. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not set out until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, before the eyes of all the house of Israel at each stage of their journey. This is God's word offered to us in its reading and its hearing. Thanks be to God. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Mighty God, we come before you in this time, anxious to hear your word, anxious to hear a word from you. We ask, O God, that you would show up in a powerfully present way. I'm humbled by the task of proclamation that you place before me, and ask, O God, that you would minimize me and my words, and that you would maximize your word and your will in our very presence. Lord, together we ask that you would open our eyes, that we would see, open our ears, that we would hear. Open our minds, we come to know and understand your word and your will. Open our hearts that we would feel its power. By your grace, I ask that you would open our hands, that we would offer grace to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know the term cloud nine? I love cloud nine. Anybody love cloud nine? Raise your hand. Come on. Raise them high, because everybody, I know you, we love cloud nine, right? Cloud nine is the place where we wish we could always be, but we're not always there, are we? I mean, we get to cloud nine by just like grinding, right? Like you have a project that is due, and you are just like driving and grinding and working as hard as you can to achieve, and you're burning the candle at both ends, and you're trying your best to put your best forward, and you're making it happen, and then you turn it in, and you're like, whoo. Maybe that's just me. When I turn a project in like that, I'm fired up. Now, I know what happens after that fired up cloud nine feeling. Do you know what happens? You crash. I crash. I've been working, I've been striving, I've been struggling, and then I get on this high, and I'm like, man, I just want to stay here as long as I can. And it's that state of manic, right? If you're a psychologist. And then you're just waiting for the crash on the other side. How else do we find those moments of cloud nine? We also find them in situations of competition, whether you're playing a game or a sport, and you go through the gruel of trying to just use your effort and your will and your talent and your skill, whether that's in mind games or in some sort of physical activity, and you're just striving, and then when you hit that moment of victory, when the clock runs to zero and you know that you're victorious and you've found a way to eke out a win again, and you are just like, whoo, right? And have you ever tried to go to sleep after one of those deals? It's hard because your adrenaline's pumping and you're still going and you're like, cloud nine, this is good. And then you crash. And when you crash, I mean, you crash hard, right? But we've all experienced those kind of cloud nines that some sort of adrenaline or rush or energy produces, and we long for that. We seek it out, we search it, and we search for it. And I think that that's probably where so much devastation ends up coming from, right? Because when we get in the habit of seeking out the next high, we'll seek in any number of places and any number of ways, most of which are not fruitful or faithful, but it's just searching for that next high. Why can't we always just stay on cloud nine? If we could just like ride cloud nine all the way, man, that'd be good. But that's not reality. It's just not. I remember one of my the most powerful cloud nine that I've ever experienced wasn't about any competition, and it wasn't about any project. It was my first true spiritual cloud nine. Those of you that have experienced the spiritual high know what I'm talking about. It actually was the time of my conversion, when I was saved. And I remember the details. So growing up, whenever I was in church every week. My dad was a pastor, and so we were always there, and we were always in church every Sunday. I don't remember missing a Sunday. And my mom says I missed when I was sick, but I don't remember missing a Sunday. We were always in church. Every week, it was just part of what we did. And we would get there, and we would go for the donut fellowship hour in the fellowship hall, and I would eat until I was sick, and then I would go to Sunday school, and I would go to worship, and it was just part of what we did. But I remember when I got to junior high and high school, I was supposed to believe. And I knew like enough like head knowledge to know what I was supposed to believe. But I'll be honest, I didn't believe any of it. And I was a Sunday school teacher's worst nightmare. I was a youth director's worst nightmare because I had more knowledge than they did, and I knew how to use it to torture them. I would ask the toughest questions that you could imagine, knowing that they were incapable of answering my difficult questions. And then I would just laugh inside, not outside, because that would be rude. I would laugh inside while they squirmed. And you ask one of those difficult questions, why would God harden Pharaoh's heart? We hear in the Word of God that God is love. And if God is love, how would God, kill all of the firstborn of Egypt? And I mean, I just like drill them with these questions. And every time the teacher would try to like give an educated response, I would come in the other side and hit him with a haymaker. Boom! And I'd knock him down. I thought it was funny. That's how I got my pleasure. And whenever I would do these things, it wasn't, the real deal is I had all this knowledge, but I had been absolutely overwhelmed with doubt. I thought that in order to have faith, I had to have all of my questions answered. I thought in order to be faithful, I had to say I didn't doubt anymore. And I thought as long as I had doubt, then I couldn't believe, and as long as I couldn't believe, I couldn't be saved. And so as long as I wasn't saved, I was going to torment my teachers. So I continued in that path. Here in the Texas Conference, we have a camp called Lakeview. Lakeview Camp is in Palestine, Texas. It's not quite the simplest camp to get to. There are some that are closer in Huntsville or Livingston that aren't Methodist camps, but our camp is in Palestine, Texas. It's in Lakeview. And we would always go to Lakeview. Every single year we go to Lakeview for summer camp, go to Lakeview for midwinter, and I spent lots of time at Lakeview growing up. And the Copeland Center was where we worshiped. And it was, kind of a big, cavernous, disgusting-looking hall that really, really desperately needed renovation, and they finally did it a couple of years ago, praise God. But it was just kind of this foul space that had like all these, VCT linoleum tiles like laid out that had never been buffed or washed or cleaned, and the kids would go in there and worship. And I remember I was a junior in high school, and I was there at midwinter camp, which wasn't really in the middle of winter. It was at the end of winter, the last weekend of February. And as I was there for worship, I was there with my very best friends. And as worship was going on that evening, the worship leader came up and he got on the microphone, and I don't know the exact words, but I know what they meant to me. He said very clearly, he said, "You struggle and you fight with God." And he wasn't talking to me, he was talking to the congregation, but it felt like it was directly at me. He said, "You struggle and you fight with God. And you think you need answers, but the only answer you need to know is that God loves you no matter what." And that is all that I had to hear. I remember it was the first encounter I had with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit just overwhelmed me, and I was like, I was on the ground, sitting on the floor. I could take you to Copeland Center. I could show you the disgusting spot on the floor where I was sitting when I gave my life to Jesus. And I said, and I was just paralyzed. I couldn't move, and I was overwhelmed, and I was crying, and I was shivering, and my friends were there, and they were on either side of me, and they were praying for me. And I remember that, and I left that place. And I was on cloud 9. I was on cloud 10. Spiritual highs unlike any other high in this world. And I was on a spiritual high because I had just met the Holy Spirit and I just gave my life to Jesus. And I thought, man, I could do anything for the kingdom right now. I love new Christians, because when you're a new Christian, like anything is possible for Jesus. Like, as you're older, like jaded, like crusty Christian, you begin to doubt and think that not as much is possible. if you're a crusty Christian, scrape some of that off and let's get a little fresh again, right? And I thought I could do anything. And I tell you, I went home, and that cloud nine experience lasted all the way to like Thursday or Friday. But then I just came off of it and came crashing down. I said, "God, can I just stay where I was? Can I stay in that moment?" And I was led to this text. This text that tells us that this journey that we're on, this journey that the Israelites were on, that was through the wilderness, a 40-year journey to get from Egypt to the Promised Land across the Jordan River. I tell you what, every single one of us, we could begin that journey right now, and in a couple of days, we would be there. It ain't that far to walk. It took them 40 years. But the key is that they only moved when the cloud moved. And they only moved where the cloud told them to move. And I love the imagery, because the imagery says that there are times when the cloud is right there, is fully present, and you camp around it, and you are there to worship and to experience it. But it is going to move, and there are times where you're not going to be fully in the midst of the cloud, but there are going to be times where you're called to just follow the cloud. So when the cloud gets up and goes, you're not in the middle of the cloud anymore, but you are following it to the next cloud, to the next time the cloud stops, and to the next time that you're able to pause and to worship and experience that same level of intimacy with God. It's done stage by stage. It even says that here, until the next stage of their journey. And I think that it's funny, because you know that they had to go like almost to the edge of the Promised Land, and then pull a couple of U-turns and circles and loop-de-loops around the wilderness 4 or 5 times. I wonder if some of the times the Israelites were like, "Do you recognize that from about like 2 years ago? Like, I think we passed that last week, and we're here again." Like, that's the kind of journey that they were on. But stage by stage is important. I remember when Mario 1 came out. If you're old enough for Super Mario number 1, raise your hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Ah, y'all that ain't, you need to go get like an original where you had like bang the disc and up in there to get the dust out, to get it to work. Y'all are spoiled with your CDs and your downloads from the internet. Good Lord. I remember Mario 1. I had a friend that got it before I did, and he learned all the little cheats. I mean, you had to buy the book for $7.99 and bring it home, and it would like tell you all the ways you could cheat at the game. And so we thought that was really cool, so that was a wise investment. We would cheat at the game. And you know, on Mario 1, you could skip all kinds of levels. Like, you find that spot in level 2, and your level 4, 5, and 6 is right there waiting for you, right? And you could just go straight ahead, and then you find that one, and then you could jump all the way to level 8. And you could beat the entire game at the end of level 8, and there are like 6 levels you didn't even have to go through. But you know what I found out? Personally, I found out that level 8 was so much more difficult when I hadn't done level 3, I hadn't done all of 2, I hadn't done all of 4, I hadn't done any of 5, I hadn't done 6 or 7. Level 8 was a beast if you hadn't gone stage by stage through it. In the wilderness, God is taking the people of Israel from slavery to freedom. He has taken them from bondage to being unbound and set free. And that's the journey we're still on today. As we follow the cloud as it goes before us, as we stop when the cloud says stop, as we encounter the power of the Holy Spirit and we move from cloud to cloud, we're moving from slavery to sin to freedom in Christ. And there are times where we go backwards and we got to do a little loop-de-loop. But as we continue following faithfully, stage by stage, we see the promised land. And we know God is with us all the way. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, I ask that you would continue to remind us when you are moving, where you are moving, and how you are leading. We pray, oh God, that you would be present with us this morning, that we would feel the presence of your Holy Spirit come down as a cloud in our midst, fall down upon us, and let us have an encounter of the Holy Spirit. We pray, oh God, for each and every person that has come into worship with us this morning. We pray, oh God, that whatever they have been enslaved to, whatever has bound them, whatever has kept them from feeling the joy of your freedom, we pray, oh God, that you would move there. That you would unleash them, unbind them, release them, so that they might know your freedom and your joy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.